What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX for a Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Jen Cease, obviously not Matt Pauly. Kyle Sixta is alongside in the controls. Matt is homesick today. I think Joe Pott was in for him last night, and Matt is still not feeling very well. So Matt Pauly, get well soon. He's got a couple of kids in the house, and I don't know if this is his story, but my typical story of having four kids, they range from age 8 to 18, is they are lovely little petri dishes that often like to bring lots of fun stuff home for us to get sick with. And of course, in the winter months and when you're stuck in the home on days like this, even if you go out and play in the snow, a lot of that stuff just kind of passes around. So get well soon, Matt Pauly. We'll hold down the fort for you here until you can come back. Like I mentioned, Joe Pott was in last night for Matt Pauly. He was out, so people have been filling in for him. He did a nice recap of the happenings in the NFL, and boy, just what a difference 24 hours makes from when Joe Pott talked last night. With the NFL regular season wrapping up, many teams are officially kicking off their offseason and making moves. Yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars fired head coach Doug Peterson, but retained GM Trent Baalke. This afternoon, Las Vegas Raiders released head coach Antonio Pierce. And then I saw some just recent news in the last couple of hours, I think it was, that today former quarterback Tom Brady, who's a minority owner in the club, will assist in the head coach search. So that'd be interesting, getting quarterback's perspective in searching for the next head coach for the Raiders. And we know from the end of November that the Chicago Bears fired Matt Eberflus, got a bit of a head start on finding a new head coach. They have reached out to the Dallas Cowboys for permission to interview Mike McCarthy, along with several other teams, of course, as well. All teams are interviewing more than one coach. But so far, no response from the Dallas Cowboys for the Chicago Bears. And one of the last things I could find today, anyway, was the Minnesota Vikings. They've signed Daniel Jones to their active roster ahead of the 2025 playoffs. Quarterback Jones is coming from the New York Giants. So a little bit of football coverage for you. Different football than the one I normally cover, which is world football, that is soccer. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the second hour. But first, just an update quickly on some other sports you might want to take a look at tonight on the college basketball scene. UIC at Missouri State tonight at 7 p.m., so less than an hour from now. SIUE at Eastern Illinois at 7:30 p.m., and LSU at Mizzou at 8 p.m. Show rundown for today, a lot to cover. First, we'll be joined by Scott Miller. He's a New York Times contributor. He has written the book 90% Mental. I'm a huge fan of the mental game when I talk sports, so interested to get his thoughts on that, along with his new book coming in May of 2025, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. We'll talk to him at 6:20. At around 6:35, the bottom of this hour, I'll visit with my friend Kevin Ryans. I often get to see him on City's soccer training pitch, but he's a St. Louis sports broadcaster. He covers all the things for Fox 2 and St. Louis 11. We'll talk with him a little bit about what's going on around St. Louis. And at the end of this hour, we will replay Tom Ackerman's conversation with SLU men's basketball head coach Josh Schertz from this past Sports on a Sunday morning. Great conversation that they had, and we'll cover that all in the first hour. That's a lot to get to. Let's take a break, and we'll get to it first with Scott Miller. Stay right here for more on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back on a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Jen Cease here filling in for Matt Pauly, who we hope gets well soon from the winter sick bugs that are running around his house as well as mine. Joining us now is Scott Miller, New York Times contributor, author of 90% Mental, and he's got a new book coming in May called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. You can pre-order, by the way. Thanks, Scott, for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Jim. Thanks for welcoming me in with the raucous rock and roll tune, Panama, Van Halen.
Yeah, that's right. Then you're from my time. Then I remember many rocking to Panama for sure. You know, we're less in. It seems so crazy to think that because it's so cold here in St. Louis. We've had major winter storms coming through. It was tough to get into the station tonight. That in just less than 3 months, basically from it, we're from Major League Baseball's 2025 season opening day. Wanted to get first of all, I want to definitely get to your books. I want to actually ask you about both of them. I'm interested in the mental game, but Major League Baseball moves from a national perspective. There's, you know, some teams are quieter, some teams are busier. When it comes to the Cardinals, it's a little bit quiet, a lot of rumor about Nolan Arenado. Curious as to your overall perspective on him potentially waiving some no trade clause on potentially going to the Red Sox. I heard maybe also the Astros. What do you think that might mean? Is that a possibility?
You know, I think it is a possibility because, you know, Arenado is you know, he's going to turn 34 this season. And, you know, he and Paul Goldschmidt were kind of in a similar situation, right? They're getting older. They were together. They were the part of the core of the Cardinals. And it just didn't work out. And so clearly, you know, the Cardinals didn't win as they thought they would with those two as centerpieces, and obviously Goldschmidt's already gone. It just makes too much sense to not trade Arenado. I think, I mentioned he's going to be 34. From his perspective, you know, he's going to want to play for a winner. From the Cardinals' perspective, they're retooling, obviously. You know, and they're not, you know, who knows how the year will go, but, you know, obviously, as you said, it's been very, very, very quiet. And to me, that just also indicates that their big move will be a blockbuster deal with Arenado, because, you know, it's just been crickets so far. I know, you know, teams that have yet to spend any money in free agency this winter, and the Cardinals are one of those six.
Yeah, and you think about it, would be remiss if I didn't ask about one of our, you know, the rival for St. Louis, which is the Chicago Cubs, acquiring Kyle Tucker, the Brewers losing Adams, the Reds making a few moves. You know, is it too quiet for the Cardinals, or is it from hearing from John Mozeliak, who talked on Sunday with our sports director, Tom Ackerman, kept reiterating the fact that we have time. So it's on the Cardinals side of the fence, it seems like there's, you know, no red flags just yet, but a lot of other teams are really busy.
I think that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. There's still a lot of other teams, you know, figuring things out, and there's still a handful of free agents out there. So, yeah, some teams are starting team building later than others this year. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to say it like that because, look, it's not like John Mozeliak is just starting for next year's team. I mean, obviously, he and his team have been working on this all winter long, but I should say it's slower for some teams than others. The teams that aren't looking to make the big splash in the free agent market, you know, there's still pieces out there. You know, there's a bunch of relievers still on the market. You know, I mean, not that the Cardinals are going to sign Pete Alonso, but there's like marquee names as big as Alonso on down the list. So, you know, there's no doubt that there's time still, even though, as you mentioned, you know, the season is starting to bear down on us.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to move to your books, specifically, first of all, the first one, when I, you know, looked a little bit more about your profile and looked at, I do some youth training in the mental game. When I was an athlete, where I struggled myself wasn't in the physical side of the game. It was always in the mental part of the game, and love the fact that you wrote a book about that being 90% mental, a co-author in that book. It just doesn't seem like, whether you're in a professional sport or you're all down to the youth level, that we can bang home the importance of the mental game enough on any level of any sport.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Jen. And, you know, it was a pleasure writing that book with Bob Tewksbury, the former Cardinal, the former All-Star pitcher Cardinal. you know, after his playing career ended, he went into he was a mental skills coach for the Boston Red Sox for 12 years. And then for San Francisco for two more and Chicago Cubs for two more. And right now, I don't want to say he's retired. He's not working for a team, but, you know, he's still very active in the mental skills and, you know, working with you know, private clients, that kind of thing. And it is, it's huge. You know, I always say, you know, I mean, just take Major League Baseball. You know, there are a handful of players like Shohei Ohtani, you know, Juan Soto, the top tier guys. There are a handful of those guys where, okay, their talent is higher, a higher level than others. But I'm going to say 90% of the major league players, the talent level is pretty equal or pretty close to it. That's how they got to the majors, and not everybody can be Shohei Ohtani. So for those other, whatever, 90% or whatever the number is of major league players who are very, very gifted, but not Shohei Ohtani, that's where the mental skill separates you, you know? I mean, you know, I can have just as much talent as you, Jen, but if your mental game is sharper and you're tougher mentally and you figure things out mentally than I have, then you're probably going to end up being a better player and rising to a higher level in Major League Baseball than I am. And it's so important. And, you know, that was the first book I did. And, you know, Tukes, I ended up covering him at the end of his career. I was covering in Minnesota, covering the Twins. That's where the relationship came about. And I always really enjoyed him because he was smart, good sense of humor. I liked to laugh. And he was just terrific. And anyway, I knew him back then, and many, many, many years passed. And then, you know, we reconnected, you know, when he was Red Sox mental skills coach. And anyway, he ended up emailing one day, you know, are you interested in writing a book? And I'd always kind of thought about writing a book, but I hadn't yet. And I know how much time it takes. And I always figure, well, if that's ever going to happen, it's got to be a subject I'm interested in. Because, you know, it takes two and a half years. You better enjoy the subject if you're going to do it. And not to mention how much I enjoyed Tukes, and it was very valuable. I mean, I learned a lot of things, and what I love about the book is there's a lot of baseball stories in there, and a lot of his career, a lot of Cardinal stuff. But beyond that, we've had all kinds of reaction. People that golf have come up to Tukes and say, hey, your book has helped my golf game immensely. And we've had other sports, athletes in other sports say that. And also, especially at the college and high school level, we've had a ton of coaches and kids come up and say that, yeah, hey, this might be a baseball book, but these mental skills, they carry across all the other sports, and they carry it on in life. You know, they're life skills.
Well, you must have gotten the bug because you've written a new book that what I mentioned in the intro, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matters and Always Will. You can pre-order now. Is this a solo book? Is this something, how'd this come about? And it sounds really, really interesting. Why should people start to pre-order?
Thank you for the nice things and you said. And, you know, it came about. Because it's funny, 90% mental was enjoyable, and we did well with it. And the publisher liked it, and they were happy. And then so my literary agent and I talked for a couple years after that. You know, I learned the phrase, what's the next project? That phrase, the next project. In the book world, I can understand that. Because my literary agent threw out a couple ideas at me. What would you think about this or that? And I'm like, I'm not that interested. Or I think that I don't know if I could do it the way I'd want to do it. I threw a couple subjects at him, and he was like, I don't know if that's gonna, if you know, publisher's gonna be interested. And we probably talked a couple years before we hit on the subject. And I think I settled on this subject again, as I said, something you have to be interested in. And you know, I've had the great good fortune to cover baseball for 30 years or so. And, you know, for many years when I was national writer at CBSSports.com and Bleacher Report, you know, in spring training, I'd end up in Florida, Arizona. I'd be at all 30 camps. And, you know, so over all that time, you know, it was really beneficial. I loved meeting people, talking to people, whether it's, you know, John Mozeliak, Theo Epstein, Andrew Friedman down in Tampa Bay before he became the big shot with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I remember talking to him on the backfields at length. And anyway, when it came time to come up with a subject for the book, after we, you know, bandied about a number of things, you know, managing the analytics and how much power does a manager have today? That's a fascinating topic, and it's fascinated me because I've seen it change. You know, I mentioned I covered the Minnesota Twins. That was back when Tom Kelly was managing in the 90s, and he was one of those old school authoritarians where, you know, he's the way what he said went. Nobody dared interfere with him. He was the guy.
And yeah, there was no back and forth, was there?
No. And you flash forward to today, and obviously the game's changed so much after Moneyball that analytics, baseball front offices, you know, they get involved in the manager's office now. And so anyway, to answer your last question on, you know, why should people pre-order? Why should they be interested? Well, first off, if anybody is, I really appreciate it. And what I would say is, basically, this is kind of a wide-ranging sweep of about 50 years, starting in the late 70s, with those authoritarian managers carrying through to today. And the gist of it is, what was the job of manager like then for Earl Weaver and Tony La Russa and Sparky Anderson? And what's it like today for Ali Marmol, you know, Dave Roberts, who just won the World Series, Aaron Boone? What are the differences? What was it then? What's the job now? And how did we get from then to now? And why did we get from then to now? So it carries over that time. And, you know, we go through the Moneyball period in baseball and how controversial that was when the book came out in 03. And you had the war between, it was a war between the front offices that were trying to take more control of the on-field stuff and the managers who didn't want to give it up and didn't understand why all of a sudden they didn't have as much authority anymore. So, we go from then to now and through the Moneyball thing. And I had a great time with it. I hope people like it, and I can't thank enough. I probably interviewed 200 people or so for this book, and so much cooperation. I'm so fortunate that, you know, from current managers, you know, Dusty Baker to, you know, Terry Francona to Dave Roberts, to executives like, you know, Theo Epstein and Billy Beane, he and I revisited some of that Moneyball time period in baseball, and Sandy Alderson and, you know, executives, players, managers, what, you know, all of it. So, I'm excited. It comes out May 13th. And, like I say, fingers crossed people like it, Jen.
Thanks for joining us, Scott. Best wishes on the book release, and we'll be looking forward to hearing about it.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. That was Scott Miller, author, coming book, Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. It's packed with baseball history, interviews with dozens of MLB's current stars and veterans, as Scott talked about, and an exclusive inside look at the day-to-day life of a manager competing for the World Series. More to come. We're going to visit with our own St. Louis's Kevin Ryans of Fox 2 and News 11 sports broadcaster. He'll be up next on KMOX. And we roll on a Gray Bar Sports Open line here on KMOX. Jen C's in for Matt Pauly. Joining me now is Kevin Ryans, my friend and St. Louis sports broadcaster for Fox 2 and St. Louis 11. Now, I personally generally see Kevin on St. Louis City's at the stadium for games when he's covering that alongside me or at the training pitch. But we're here to talk about all sports, Kevin. Thanks for joining me.
Jen, you know, the best parts of the days when I go to St. Louis City is hanging out with all the other media members, including yourself. And so I'm so happy that I've been invited to be able to talk to you tonight. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Preferably on not overly cold days like today or overly hot days like in August, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely like a little bit more in the middle, like the spring or the fall.
100%.
Can't have it too hot, can't have it too cold like it is right now, but You know, we grind. You know, we keep going.
Call me Goldilocks. I like it just right. So I updated everybody on what I could find on the NFL. So unless anything's changed in the last 20 minutes, we kind of got that up to date. And of course, the Major League Baseball with the Cardinals, the rumors floating around Nolan Arenado. Talked a little bit about that. My producer, Kyle Sixta, was kind enough to find a little bit of news in like the last, 10 or 20 minutes that the Giants have signed future Hall of Famer Justin Verlander to a one-year deal. He's going to spend his 20th season in San Francisco. I don't know if I surprised you with that. He surprised me with that. Any reaction?
Justin Verlander still has it. To what degree, skills obviously diminish as the years go on and you keep pitching. But as we've seen with a lot of Major League Baseball pitchers over the years, a pitcher might be the best position to be able to have any type of longevity as long as you're healthy. And Justin Verlander, for the most part, has been healthy in his career. He'll add something to San Francisco. I just don't know how good they're going to be, but at the very least, you're going to get a quality starting pitcher. And I think, he still has a lot of gas left in him. Him and Scherzer, those guys are just incredible wizards. They're awesome the way that they're able to perform and pitch at such high degree of difficulty for such a long period of time. And so, Justin Verlander, all the best to him as he goes on. That's awesome.
And of course, things a little bit quieter, as we talked about with Scott Miller in the previous segment on the St. Louis Cardinals, with rumors floating around about Nolan Arenado and other teams being busy with moves. John Mozeliak was on Sunday with Tom Ackerman on Sports on a Sunday Morning. And, Kevin, he just kind of said, keeping the worries low, saying, hey, there's plenty of time. We can work to get him to a place that he wants to be. There's plenty of time to make moves. They're interested in making sure they reduce payroll but staying competitive. Just wanted to get your overall thoughts on Arenado and, of course, the future of Cardinals, because we're looking at an opening season that's less than 3 months away, although Mozeliak says we have plenty of time.
Yeah, most of these rosters aren't fully rounded out yet. We're still in January. They still have all January and then February into spring training, and then you have the month in between that and then the regular season. So, yeah, they still have time. But I think the Cardinals have told fans what they're going to do, reducing payroll. And they're going to try to focus in on the young players they have at the major league level while developing the players that they have over in the minor league level. And even, back over in the winter meetings, they were talking about how they want to really see these players take an elevated role. And when you commit to something like that, the product may not be as good. I'm not going to say that they're going to be bad. I've seen plenty of young teams do very well over at the major leagues and surprise Major League Baseball with a good season and potentially the postseason. But I think you got to temper your expectations if you're the St. Louis Cardinals and the fan, or they should say the St. Louis Cardinals fans, because you just don't know what you're going to get if they're really going to kind of hone in on this kind of retool, this kind of development phase that they have going on here. And as for Arenado, I love watching Nolan Arenado selfishly play third base and hit home runs over at Busch Stadium. And so I, of course, would love for him to stay and be able to watch him on most days throughout the regular season. But is this where he wants to be at this point in his career? You know, quite sure if the Cardinals are going to be competing for a world championship. Oh, Nolan Arenado is on the tail end of his career, right? He's still somewhat in his prime, on the tail end of that prime. Does he want to have that year here to be able to go and be on a development team, kind of help a team kind of string along? Or does he want to go play for a contender, try to make a postseason and try to win a world championship? That's something that's missing on his resume. So, it's one of those deals where the Cardinals and Nolan Arenado have to figure this out, whether they want to continue to be with each other. Do we know if this marriage is going to stay along for a whole season? I've been very skeptical going into the offseason when Mozeliak is saying that that Arenado is open for, he's opened the trading block for him to be able to go and move somewhere, but you just don't know. And so the whole up in the air deal, I think he starts the season on the team. It doesn't seem like they found a shooter that's good for him. I know that there's been rumblings about him and maybe he liked Boston, yeah. And he didn't like Boston and all that stuff, but who knows what's going to happen with that saga. Selfishly though, I love watching Nolan Arenado play third base. He's an MVP level third baseman, and then he obviously can still hit the ball pretty well. So selfishly, would love to see him here in St. Louis.
All right, and last but not least with you, Kevin, I've got to cover the NHL in about 20 minutes, maybe a little less. The Central Division number 5 St. Louis Blues dropped the puck tonight against the number 2 team in the Central Division, Minnesota Wild. So 7 p.m., like 18 minutes away or so. They're halfway through the season on an upward trajectory from the front office, it seems, to the ice. Kevin Wheeler talked in his sports reports a little bit earlier, an hour before, about the fact that the Blues have won 4 of their last 6, several with 4 or more goals. So offense is clicking, but they're coming off a loss. Kevin, what are the chances for an away win against the number 4 team in the league?
Yeah, they're going to have to play some good hockey tonight because the Minnesota Wild are an excellent team, and they're not a team that they should be messed with. I believe they played earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken. So they're familiar a little bit with them. And, of course, they're Central Division rivals, so that's a team that they're going to face a bunch this year. Hey, look. The Blues are playing much better hockey over the last month. They're extremely improved under Jim Montgomery, and that is no slight towards Drew Bannister, who I thought did a terrific job getting the Blues kind of back on track last year after such a rough start to the season. They had a little bit of a streak where they didn't win a lot of games. I think that affected their whether or not they made the postseason last year. But they were darn close to making it. And then to start this season, it wasn't working. You can tell it wasn't working. This is a guy who was a first-time NHL coach. You have a guy like Jim Montgomery who had the Boston Bruins, even though they kind of fell flat in the postseason, had the Boston Bruins with the best record ever in the National Hockey League. He was one of the best coaches in there. You have a caliber coach in the free agent market. You go and grab him. And they have done that, and they have turned a big corner. I know they had a little bit of a stumble there in December, but I think they found it again. And hopefully that, once they kind of get everything all together, I still think they're trying to work out the kinks within that team. But once they start playing at what their peak potential is, I'm not going to say that they're going to be one of those teams that is contending for a Stanley Cup. I think that's a little bit too much. But I do think that they can absolutely compete for one of the spots in the postseason. And you can see it right now. They're playing so much better hockey. They're beating quality teams. They're playing really well, playing together. Everything is kind of meshing well, and people are learning their roles. And when you have that, a team that's starting to come together with some good goaltending play, Jordan Binnington, a couple of shutouts over the last couple of weeks. Joel Hofer has done a nice job over at net. You never know what can happen.
All right, that was Kevin Ryan, St. Louis sports broadcaster for Fox 2 and St. Louis 11. Kevin, I'll see you on a pitch somewhere soon, hopefully not too cold.
Jen, I hope it's going to be cold in February. Hopefully by the time we get to March and April,
100%.
A little bit better.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Have a good one.
All the best. Jen, all the best to you.
More to come. We're going to replay Tom Ackerman's conversation with SLU men's basketball head coach Josh Schertz coming up next. Stay with us on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Nope, not yet. Jen C's filling in for Matt Pauley, who's out not feeling very well. We hope he's comes back soon. Right now, though, we want to take you to a replay. Every Sunday, Tom Ackerman visits with various guests on Sports on a Sunday Morning. A regular contributor is SLU men's basketball head coach Josh Schertz, who talked with Tom about how the season's going and what their outlook is.
Let's take a listen to this.
Whoa, 12 on the shot clock. Back to Robbie. Bang, you got another one. Oh, Robbie Avila.
The movement, Remmer, the movement.
Five players touched it.
Five-man basketball, Remmer.
Timeout, St. Joe's.
Get on your feet.
Timeout, St. Joe's. This is the crowd.
Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. with the call. Inject that call into my veins. I love that stuff. This is our Billiken Report. It's sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. The head coach of the Billikens is Josh Schertz. I heard them play that for you on the postgame show after your win over St. Joseph's. What a fun call. What a fun moment that was for the Billikens.
Yeah, great possession. Even better call. There's a lot of cool things about St. Louis basketball. I don't know if there's anything cooler than having Rammer and Earl calling the games, and just how knowledgeable they are, how passionate they are, and reason both guys are Hall of Famers. They're just incredible to deal with, and like I said, their passion, their knowledge is incredible.
There is no doubt. I mean, I've learned so much from Bob Ramsey through the years, listening to him call games here on KMOX and beyond. And Earl Austin Jr. is also, as you mentioned, a Hall of Famer, a Missouri Sports Hall of Famer. He's in every gym. He's been in every gym in this city times 100. And he knows basketball inside and out. And to hear his enthusiasm about your play right there and your offense, that's just a little bit of what we're going to see down the road, I think. You are starting to click there. That is Indiana State 2023-24 basketball right there, and you've carried it into St. Louis.
Yeah, we're starting to. Well, I think, you know, look, anybody who, you know, really enjoys basketball, I think whether you're a fan or media, they appreciate guys playing exceptionally hard and guys playing together on both ends of the floor. And when you're playing as hard as you can and guys are leaving it out there and guys are doing it as a team, you know, that excites anybody who loves basketball and loves sports. So, you know, that was cool to see. But we're making progress. I think, you know, we're understanding on both ends of the floor, you know, the level of togetherness needed, how we want to play, our identity, what it needs to be, you know, not just offensively, but defensively. And so, you know, sometimes those things, I think I said it a while back, you know, sometimes it happens early. Sometimes it, you know, it happens, you know, later on in the year, middle of the year. And sometimes, you know, it never happens for teams. So, you know, we're turning it on in terms of, you know, understanding who we are, our function, how we want to play on both ends. Now we just got to keep going to work and getting better because, this league gives you no respite. So it's, you know, you just got to get ready for the next one, and we got to stay humble and, you know, and continue to improve on a daily basis, but certainly a lot of progress here the last couple weeks.
Nothing creates energy like good defense, and there's no doubt about it that you have been playing that a lot better. When your style, when your team is playing its very best defensively, what does that look like? What do you preach to your team? What do you want to see?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny because we always, even in Indiana State, you know, everybody talked about our offense, but, you know, we were the number one defense in the Missouri Valley last year. And the year before, we were number two going in the final two games and wound up finishing fourth. You know, and going back to my time at LMU, it's impossible to be good offensively if you're bad defensively, I think. Because your ability to turn people over, your ability to get stops and run and get cross matches, and everything's predicated on your ability to do it on the defensive end at a high level. So I'll start with that. But defense, to me, when you're looking at it, it's we talk a lot about invisible plays, right? Like so much of defense is subtlety and nuance that, you know, fans and media, you know, aren't going to give a whole lot of attention to, but it's what drives winning and what drives great defense. So, you know, playing with unbelievable, you know, energy, the effort and physicality required, and how connected you are. Defense is about flying around, covering for each other, communicating at a high level. You know, it's all those things put together, but a lot of it goes unnoticed because no one's going to be like, man, you know, your ball pressure was unbelievable tonight. That really drove the game. Or your ability to cancel a ball screen or getting back below the ball in transition and into your shrink spots and loading the ball and keeping them out of transition or rotation box out. So I could go over 100 things that probably for most fans escape and they don't get any box score validation. But all those things are the invisible plays that drive winning. And, you know, and to do that, you got to have guys that are committed to winning and guys that are committed to team success. And that's got to be super important because you're not going to get that love from, you know, outside. It's all internal in terms of what it does to drive winning.
You know, I was reading about your game and I watched, I was at the Herman Trophy banquet. So I actually heard that call that I just played earlier live on my drive home. I'm like, oh baby, I got to turn on ESPN2. I want to see this for myself. Crowd looked good. Uniforms look good. You know, the basketball looks good and all that stuff. But you know, you look at the big picture of this thing and you see that you have starters that are grinding it out. They are working. And, you know, I know a lot of people, I was reading about the St. Joseph's game and some people were pointing to the bench minutes and the depth. Mm-hmm. I remember your teams at Indiana State not going much deeper than 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. You found the right combination right now. And also you've dealt with some health issues on your team. Have you found what you like right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, it's funny, you know, everybody worries about, I think that's one of the more overrated things is, you know, is how much, you know, how many minutes guys are playing. I mean, there's a lot of different variances, of course, on a team You know, my job is to win the game in front of me. You know, I'm not thinking about, you know, 10 games from now or you know, what's going to happen a year from now or 2 years from now or whatever. Like, you know, I get paid to win the game in front of me and do what I think is best to help drive winning for that team. And so, you know, I'd love to have, you know, I do think our starting five has kind of formed itself, and those guys are playing at a high level right now. You know, they're each kind of understanding their function, and they're each bringing and adding value to winning and impacting winning in significant ways. We got to have, and I'd like to have better bench performance. Last year, we played six guys mainly, Bledson being the sixth, and he was sixth man of the year in the league. And our benches, you know, a lot of it has just been, you know, Kellen, who was a starter and one of our best players first four games. You know, we obviously starting on November 25th, really has had very limited game practice time because of the cramping, then the hip flexor. So much like, you know, people think, okay, he's back, he's going to be back to himself. Well, you know, he's not. And it does take a while. It's just like it's taken Robbie a while to come back from, you know, from a couple months out. And Robbie's just now, to me, looking like, you know, what he was last year and a better version of that. You know, I think we got to find it with some of these young guys. You know, Max Bacar, Amari McCautry, you know, Killian Brokoff, you know, Dylan Warlick, these young guys. We have to get some of them stepping up and playing well enough to be able to absorb minutes. Because when you go into a game like we did against St. Joe's, you know, our bench, they didn't play many minutes, which is true. I think they played, you know, maybe 20 minutes combined, but they were also a combined minus 26. So, you know, you gotta, you know, if you come in as a bench guy, you don't have to move the needle, but the needle has to at least stay neutral. And you got to defend, and you got to rebound, you got to take care of the ball, and then the rest of it comes when you do those things. And you know, we got some young guys that are figuring it out, the level, the physicality. But certainly, we're not going to just rest guys to rest guys. And it's my job to make sure that if we have to, that those guys are in condition to play, you know, 40 minutes, and the output of, you know, Isaiah and Gibson and Kobe and Kalu and Robbie, in terms of what they're doing really on both ends of the floor for a lot of those guys, is remarkable. But certainly it's also my job to try to develop some bench depth, and I've got to do that. And hopefully Kellen, as he, you know, gets back and kind of gets his legs under him, and we address this cramping deal. I think the hip flexor, he looks okay. It's just he's rusty, out of rhythm. But Kellen certainly would be a guy that's capable of playing major minutes for us, whether that's as a starter or off the bench.
One more thing before we go, because we have a weather update coming here at 10:45. It has been, as you know, a very stormy day here in St. Louis. But two things coming. One, Monday night, your first coach's show at Humphreys. That's going to be a blast with you and Bob Ramsey. And then secondly, a huge game on Wednesday against St. Bonaventure. Just huge. I mean, your schedule has been challenging to start here, going back and forth. Now you get a monster game against a team that is, so far, the cream of the crop in the A-10.
Yeah, looking forward to the coaches' show with Rammer. Should be a lot of fun, and hopefully get to see a bunch of Billikens out there and fans out there, and certainly tuned in. And then, yeah, St. Bonaventure, 14-1. I think they've won 8 or 9 in a row at the moment. Big home win over VCU, went to Fordham, took care of business. This league is a monster. You can't pick your head up at all. You just put your head down, you prepare as well as you can, you go out, and then you try to compete and attack it and stack possession by possession, and then learn from it, grow from it, and then get ready for your next one. Anytime you pick your head up and look around, you're going to get beat. We have a monster one, like you said, on Wednesday, and then it gets no easier. We fly out and we play, you know, VCU, who's one of the best teams in the country, and at Richmond, who's also undefeated in the league. So it's one after another. We just got to keep our heads down, keep working, keep getting better, and then attack these challenges and do it as a team.
I'm just getting word that the coach's show has been canceled, and that's probably a smart move because of the weather. I just got word from your staff on that. So the coach's show canceled, but that game certainly not. It's going to be a big one on Wednesday when SLU takes on St. Bonaventure. Pack that place at Chaffetz Arena, folks. There's nothing like a great college basketball atmosphere, and you could feel it coming out of the radio, coming out of the television, that St. Louis is the place to be. So congratulations on the two A-10 wins flying out of the gate against Fordham and St. Joseph's. Good luck against St. Bonaventure. We appreciate you joining us on KMOX very much.
Thanks for having me on, Tom. We'll talk soon. Take care, everybody. Be safe out there.